Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up today?
Hello, groomers. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to episode 251 of the Groom Pod, recorded on April 26, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and the Absorber Towel. And I've got something to tell you about the Absorber Towel. They have given us a 10% off deal for new people who haven't bought an absorber towel. Go onto the Absorber website at dogloverstowel.com and put in their coupon code THEGROOMPOD, and you'll get 10% off your first order.
Wow, that's cool. But how are they going to know? I mean, they're not going to know that you had got one at Walmart last year.
Well, no, I mean, if you're new to their website. So okay, you can have right, 10,000 absorber towels at home, but if you've never bought one through their website, 10% off.
So go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah. Really worth it to have a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm still in love with that piece of technology. This week on the Groom Pod, we're talking poodle grooming. It's where it all started. Poodle grooming.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
This week, Barbara, I have been working on a very special project on our website, and that is replacing the Amazon click-through. Because we used to get about $100 a month from Amazon, and when they booted us off a year ago, I've never really found a good replacement. So I started reaching out, and we've got some really nice statistics. So people do like to have us on their affiliate programs, but there aren't that many affiliate programs out there that people would use. Like, there's lots of them. If you listen to any podcasts, there's like the Blue Apron ones, and there's the Third Love bras, and the MeUndies shorts, and the Shaving Club. There's that kind of stuff, but there isn't a lot of stuff that kind of appeals to our focus group. But there is Cherry Brook.
Our demographic, as they would say on CNN.
That would be the correct word. Yeah, I just couldn't get it. I don't know why.
I know. Well, I just, like sometimes my brain offers up the word and sometimes it hides it way in the back.
That's funny. So I was looking at Cherry Brook because they have a very good commission, probably one of the better ones out there. And they sell grooming stuff and they sell dog food. They sell a variety of accessories for your pets and things like that. And we can link to a lot of the products. I don't want to infer that I'm not going to Cascade Grooming Supply, because I'm going to Cascade Grooming Supply because I love Michael. But there's a lot of you guys out there that shipping from Seattle is not really realistic. I think Cherry Brook's on the other side of the coast. I think it's in New Jersey or something.
Yeah.
And our Best Shot associate has a pretty good relationship with them, and he feels like they're a good company. And by golly, they give you a good commission. So I applied for that one yesterday. And if, in fact, we do get approved, which I don't doubt we will, there will be a link and a little button that says the Cherry Brook button. Up there now is a Chewy button for Chewy.com, and I was so excited because that one said, oh, it's a good, solid producer, and I thought we all used foods, you know, that would be a good reoccurring kind of a thing. And then when I got approved and went into the contract portion of the deal, it turns out that they will only pay you if it's a new sign-up, a brand new sign-up. Now, they pay you $15 for every new sign-up, but who amongst us hasn't already signed up for that? And then, you know, we all have reoccurring stuff with them, and we buy there pretty often, but guess what? I get nothing for that for us. So instead, Cherry Brook looks like our first one. Now, finding a second one, Barbara, I'd like to have at least one other one up there. And we were thinking, Barbara and I were kind of thinking about it. We like Tractor Supply. We really like Harbor Freight. But everywhere that listed Harbor Freight as having an affiliate program has said they've shut their affiliate program down. So no more Harbor Freight affiliate program.
Damn you, Harbor Freight.
I know, your cheap products and big selection.
cheap products is probably the reason. They probably have a slighter profit margin than some. And that's disappointing to me because I love to peruse Harbor Freight and find things. So Tractor Supply, Susie, I found one somewhat slightly bummed out thing about Tractor Supply. I bet you don't know.
I'm sure I don't, because I'm only looking for what's available.
What do they have that maybe we don't like, not counting Pedigree dog food? Give up?
Yeah.
Dog wash station.
Oh,
do it
self-wash?
Yourself.
I'm okay with that. You don't like self-wash?
Well,
it serves a purpose. It's not for everybody, but it serves a purpose.
Well, and I can see it in rural farmland areas.
Absolutely. For farm dogs.
Dogs get in the cattle poo or whatever.
Yep.
Man, dogs love shit, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Marco goes outside and gets a Tootsie Roll and puts it on my futon right where I'm sitting.
We're not talking candy, folks.
What's your problem, lady?
Oh, that is
you
disgusting.
Know?
Oh, my God.
It's dry, lady. Come on. It's crunchy. You know, like.
That's horrible. I don't even want to think about that. Yeah, I can imagine reaching over there, and generally I grab a cat. Can you imagine finding a Tootsie Roll? That would be not cool.
I have to. It's actually a motivating factor for making the bed.
Well, good point.
Because it cannot be hidden in the folds. That'll probably get me to make my bed better than my mother nagging at me every single day.
That's funny. So the deal with the affiliate links is you have to shop online. I usually go to physically to the tractor store and buy, you know, my chicken food and stuff like that. I actually physically go in there. I don't think they ship gigantic bags of chicken food to your house. So anyway, if you guys out there have other suggestions of affiliate type products that have reoccurring sales that you guys would continue to click on to support the show, what I'm looking for is, in this moment where we all have no income except for the income that the government is giving you, a way that you can still get some income coming to us without it actually having to cost you guys anything, because, you know, that is the key right now, is having some support for the show, because I'm going to have to pay a big bill in June and not having it have to come out of your pocket. Anyway, looking for feedback on that one. I also had an odd phone call. It was a rough one. I didn't know quite how to handle it. I ended up saying no, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but it was the 36-pound Maine Coon that belongs to the 96-year-old lady.
He's
had diarrhea, covered in diarrhea.
Oh, God.
Walking around her house leaving tracks, and she's following along trying to clean up. But
you have
to
go to that.
Well,
you can't say no to that.
I know.
That is a major sanitation issue. If you get busted doing that, Kat, I will come and personally testify in your behalf in my own inimitable, powerful way.
So I thought so. I kind of felt the same way. My only concern was me going in to get, because she can't pick the cat up. I would have to go physically into her house and collect the cat and then come back out of the house. So I was looking for a neighbor who's already been in there helping her that would go in and collect the cat, bring it down so that I don't physically go in there, because I don't know what I'm carrying. God, if I took her out, I would feel just awful. But it's got to be done. I mean, somebody has to clean that cat up. So I got it all on the schedule, right? And then last night, I got a phone call from her, which is always cute when you get a phone call from someone who's 15 years older than Barbara, 95 years old, 96 years old.
They exist.
I know, and she's all there. She has nobody to talk to, you know, so the phone calls tend to be long. But she called me up, and she said she decided that since the cat had diarrhea, maybe it needed a vet visit also. And she got in the car, and they went to the vet, and the vet took the cat in and did the shave down for her. So she ended up canceling with me. But I spent a good hour trying to figure out the logistics of getting the cat down three stories from a three-story walk-up apartment that's 26-pound cat in a carrier without me physically having to go into her house and being able to do it. So, interesting thing, and I couldn't say no. There was no way I was going to say no. That had to be done. But it's done now, and the cat is apparently on some medication. I'm not sure how Lori is going to get the medication in the cat. I'm hoping they've got that figured out. But either way, it's done.
Well, I have a new item that might be helpful in those kinds of situations of cats.
Oh, look at that.
And look at this glove. This is a glove that has an added sleeve up to the elbow. And it's made out of a very tough plastic. I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't silicone natured product. It's got a soft cotton liner. It's got a kind of waffly texture on the palm so that it doesn't slip. And it protects your arms all the way up to the elbow. Now, I'm not going to test it on a cat that scratches me because I have gone out of the cat business right now. But I have lots of dogs that are very hazardous to my left arm. And I am going to be using this glove. And I found it on Amazon on, you know, like about page 5 of the kitchen glove. It really pays. It pays to keep on going with Amazon and go deep because you find some interesting buys there, usually from China, usually with a little delay in shipping. This was not terribly delayed, but it sure was helpful. And I would recommend it.
It looks like one of those gloves they use to reach up the behind of a cow when they're checking stuff out. But it's thicker than that, right?
Well, it's thicker than a latex glove, for sure. Yeah. And it's thicker than a vinyl glove, for sure. Cool. And it's tougher than either one of those. And it's not expensive. It was really inexpensive. I'm probably going to get another pair so that I can have one left hand for me and one left hand for Yvonne.
Good.
Speaking of gloves, have you ever, you probably don't use them, but you know, I have latex gloves around because I use them for hand stripping, although lately I've gone more for the finger cuts. But have you ever used a glove that was too tight? Or have you ever accidentally put the right-hand glove on the left hand and it puts a certain little stress on your thumb joint?
Yeah.
Just feels terrible.
Yes.
How can just such a little mistake feel so crummy? It just feels all wrong. You can't wait to get the damn glove off.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's the right size or not, but if it's too small, it just, especially it seems if you have thumb arthritis like I do, it's just horrible.
It is. It's bad.
Of all the horrible things in the world, it's probably ranked in the lower 10,000s, but I have to learn to not use such exaggerated term. Everything is either horrible or it's great and it's the best, you know, like,
yes.
I had to stop myself in a post I did today to somebody on our list that wanted a critique of their lovely, by the way, Bichon grooming.
Nice scissoring. Oh my God.
Yeah. And she really did a stellar job, and I hope she's looking to do competitions or at least certifying or something, because she's got the scissoring down.
Her name is Anita Clock.
With a Y. I love that. I loved Anita with a Y. That was a real good job. Yeah, so what else is new?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about last week's interview and commend you on keeping yourself in check when you were, we were both spinning like crazy after that interview. But you did such a professional job. It came out sounding so good. And I think the score was Barbara 3, Michelle 0, but That was just my count. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. But he's just got to get up to the newer technologies, I think.
I know. I think I'm going to offer myself as a private consultant for him because I liked him. That was the surprise to me. Because based on former Facebook interactions, I thought he was going to be too arrogant and he would push my buttons. There were some things that got pushed, but not his personality. I really liked him. I think it's great that he's making a re-entry into our industry. My only concern is that he has expectations and information from 10 years ago, or even like 15 years ago. We're not the same group of gals.
No. No, we are not.
You know, tell your gals. That's what I had some sales reps say that. Tell your gals. Oh, dude.
Oh,
F
man.
You. You know, don't. We're just like one of a little pond of tadpoles or something. Tell your gals.
Yeah, no.
But he wasn't like that. I think just his interactions with me have changed his expectation of groomers a little bit.
I think so.
And there's a lot of mini-me's popping up. all over. I love it, you know.
Like mushrooms.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
I love new mini-me's popping up and people that have the information and the questions to ask and everything. But, I liked him a whole lot more than I thought I would. I would be happy to have another interview with him if anybody had some questions. I think we need to wait until he actually launches his new products and we can follow up. And now we've got a really good connection.
Yep. He's in my cell phone.
Yep. He's in mine too. We've got a really good connection for another person deep within the industry. So that was that.
Yeah, cool. Well, I enjoyed refereeing. I enjoyed being the moderator for a change. I thought I did a pretty good job with the interview. I've learned how to sit back and listen and direct the orchestra while the interactions are happening. And I enjoyed it. And I think it's one of the best interviews we've ever done. So there. Yeah. So now I'm patting myself on the back in case you guys can't see, which
well,
I know
you should. Yeah. Well, you should. You deserve pats.
That was fun. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Well, Barbara, let's talk about the dog that started it all, the poodle. I thought, since we can't groom, let's talk about a dog breed. And you pick poodle, and I'm all on board. But I have to disclose that I don't groom any poodles anymore. None.
Boy, that is such a change. You know, when I first started grooming in like 1971, I think poodles were about at least a quarter of our business. And in fact, we had one groomer. There was my boss. There was one groomer who was just poodles. And then two bathers and me, who was like stumbling along doing a schnauzer. Because we had Patty grooming only poodles, I didn't learn to groom poodle until I submitted my 2-week notice. And then I said, hey, I need to learn some things about poodles. And we did a crash course. And I really kind of learned a lot of that on my job. And we didn't even have Kirk scissors back then. So tell me about the poodle.
Okay. So there is pictures of poodles like way back, all the way back.
You mean, do you think Cleopatra might have had a poodle?
Yeah, I do think Cleopatra might have had a poodle. No, maybe not, because they were European dogs. Mostly European dogs.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of representation of them starting like the 16th century. They're in all kinds of art and statues and things like that. And at that time, they were hunting dogs.
Water dogs.
Yeah. Poodle comes from the word pudeln in German, which means splashing in the water.
Yeah, I was thinking like puddle hopper.
They're good retrievers, super smart, like off the chart smart normally, because I've run into a few that aren't.
Yeah, but I would say on the whole, they are definitely the higher than average intelligence dogs. And some of them are quite bright. Yeah, I feel that way about poodles.
Remember when we were younger? They used to call them French poodles. When the French got a hold of them, and really the rest of Europe, they went crazy with the haircuts. But in the beginning, the haircut was definitely a functional part of having a retriever that worked in the water and ran through the brambles. So the poofs, which are called pompons, like pom-poms are what cheerleaders hold. Pompons are what the French people had that covered the dog's joints. So I would contend that maybe that's still interpretation, but I did look that up and that's what it looks like. So they had a clean shaven neck and face so that it kept the dog's face so it could see what was going on. But then all of the warmth was kept in by the coat on the body. And they were great hunters, and then they became nobility dogs, and people loved having them because they have delightful personalities. And they also did some circus performing, and they hunt truffles.
I didn't know they were truffle hunters.
Yeah.
Thought only the Lakota Romanola.
Apparently the poodles did too. So appearance-wise, I'm going to just read you something off the AKC website. That of a very active, intelligent, and elegant-appearing dog, squarely built, well-proportioned, moving soundly, and carrying himself proudly. Properly clipped in a traditional fashion and carefully groomed, the poodle has about him an air of distinction and dignity peculiar to himself. So they come in a ton of colors, like pretty much almost all the colors, and now even two colors, like party colored. And then sometimes they have like the markings, the points, color points. And I think they call that masquerade poodle coloring. Not positive about that one, but I had a poodle that once the lady called it a masquerade colored poodle. They have teacups and royale poodles. I know. Those are silly names. These are poodles that exist outside this breed standard and generally promote some bad attributes. You know, sometimes bad genetics get them that small. And I don't think it's a great thing, but it's just phony names. I don't like those names. People make their own names up.
Well, yeah, teacup. I cringe when I get a call about a teacup poodle, because they can be so malformed and delicate. They're just not true to what you just read. You know, they're just little things.
They're like a potato bug, and they carry them around, and they curl up into a little ball and become all roach-backed, and their knees are all messed up, and yeah, I'm with you.
They're kind of scary. Sometimes they have permanent bad knees in the back, and, you know, stuff like that. It's hard to, they lose soundness. They're not, as a rule, very sound. There can be exceptions, but it's a roulette game buying a teacup. Sometimes people sell them as teacups and they're actually just regular toys. I have a woman customer and we groomed her toy poodle named Angel. And she really was. The dog really was an angel. She's just so cooperative and so allowed everything. And she's a friendly little dog. And the woman used to give her super high waters. I mean, the feet up to the elbow, practically.
Oh, my.
and I know. And a 7-blade. Oh, God. Anytime I did whatever I did, she would, by the time I saw her again, there would be home grooming accidents all over the place. But she was really complacent and really a mommy's girl. The dog died. She was devastated. So hard on people when they have only one dog and it passes. God. And that's why I have three. Because there's always two more that need help and need me, you know. And when you have one and it's gone, it's just like this horrible emptiness. So anyway, this dog is incorrigible. She's one of my special need dogs that I can't hardly groom.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, God, and the lady is so bummed out. And she doesn't want to admit it, but she's so terribly disappointed that she didn't replace Angel.
Oh, that's hard.
That she got a difficult dog. Doesn't want to be trained. Doesn't want to this. Doesn't want to, definitely doesn't want to be groomed. And, oh, poor thing. Poor woman. Poor dog. And this is what happens, this damn backyard breeding, being irresponsible. But anyway, let's go on. We're talking grooming here. Let's carry on.
So, Barbara, I'm going to let you tell us about grooming poodles since I don't do any.
Well, I still do a nice handful of poodles. And I like almost every one of my poodles that I've groomed, except maybe Angel's replacement. You know, and to me, that term elegance is an important feature of the dog. So sometimes when we chop them up with crazy haircuts, we lose that. We get more of the little clown and less of that, you know, and elegance is especially true of standard poodles. They carry themselves with elegance. They're a big clown and joker and all of that. But it's the same feeling. Sometimes putting a good standard poodle on a leash and moving it, it's like the experience I had when I put Arturo the Borzoi on the leash next to me. He just always made me feel so smooth and glamorous and regal, you know, and everybody felt that from him, you know. And so poodles are that same way. They just have this inherent elegance, and we either accentuate that or we mess it up.
I can see that. I know exactly, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah. And there's been many types of trims over the years, but one of the kind of styling things that I was real glad to see go away was the banded neck.
Oh.
The reason I didn't like the banded neck, I mean, it's also good for the collar. And then you put a triple layer jeweled collar around that naked neck. But it totally destroyed the line from the top of the head crest down the back and the top line to the tail, and then the poofed tail. You just lost it. It just cut it up, and it cut it up again at the waist. It's not a real elegant look when you remove parts of the lines. Do you know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
One of the lines that's kind of built into the poodle that people don't pay too much attention to unless you're grooming for show is the underline and the tuck up. Poodles have a definite tuck up, so they definitely have a definite curve upward. Well, I'm starting at the flank and then a sweeping kind of a curve to the bottom of the chest.
That is one of my biggest challenges when I do work on poodles, is getting that in the right spot and making it look curvaceous and sexy.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I'll give you a little clue, a little hint of what I do, and I don't know if this is, and we're talking pet trims here. I'm not trying to coach you for certification or show, just pet trims. If I do the tummy, the underbelly, and shave it close up to the rib cage, that greatly allows me to have a high tuck up. And then you can go real short, and that, you know, there's a skin flap that goes from the flank to the back leg. Do real close on that, and then you have just an automatic kind of tuck up. And then the question is, how low do I go on the forechest? Not too low. Some of the older 1950s and 60s poodle show cuts, very bulky and deep in the chest. You know, nowadays that just looks so unbalanced. And so you want to make them look like they have long legs. You don't want to shorten the legs a whole lot by having a deep forechest past the elbows.
Boy, especially some of those minis that look like they were bred with a dachshund. You know, they're really kind of short legs.
See, those are the dogs, those long back dogs, they can stand that banded neck and the naked waist. They can stand that chopping up because it makes them look shorter. You always want to groom to make as much of a square of the front legs and the top line, the top of the back. So that's a real important feature of your poodle, as I wave my arms around in front of Susie's face, and she's just glued to my action.
Actually, mathematically, right? Take out the measuring tape and measure the dog and get an impression of what it is.
Yeah, one of the funniest dogs I ever did was a standard poodle Bichon mix.
Huh.
A standard poodle Bichon mix. It looked like a freaking Bichon on stilts.
That's funny.
There was no way. That was one of the most difficult dogs to sort of correct.
Oh, I bet.
I do a lot of kind of just inherent correctnesses as I'm grooming, because there again, I groom for what I want to see. And I just try to figure out a way to get there to the picture in my mind, which is why I often keep pictures of real dogs around my environment so I can look at them. But that underline and the elegant line from the top of the head, you don't necessarily need to do a whole crest on the back of the neck like they would do on a show dog, but you do want it, the hair, to blend right from the back of the neck into the top knot. There shouldn't be a big break there, so that the top of the head is the top of your line that comes down the back, right? Are you understanding me?
Yes.
Some people like do the head first and then try to make the body match. This is a place where I really do the head, I'm so excited, I'm getting the hiccups. I love to talk, I'm sorry. I love to talk about grooming and try to explain myself.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. So you definitely want that to be a solid, swooping kind of a line. You can leave a little bit more hair back there if you want. You need to experiment and then critique yourself. You know, that's how we learn. That's why some of the best poodle groomers are people that have lived with poodles. When you live with your work, boy, it gives you a whole new view. It really does.
Yes, it does.
Another problem that I see often on poodles is a poor placement of the generically called puffs. So they are sometimes up too high. So the puffs are there in order to cover the ankle joint. And in the show ring, the Only the very, you don't even see all of the foot. You see about two-thirds of the foot peeking out underneath the legs, right? We tend to take the feet up a little bit higher for practical purposes with a poodle, but when you're doing puffs, if you place those puffs too high, like above that, what is that knobby thing on the back of the front leg called?
At the pad?
Yeah. Don't go beyond that for sure. That's even that is high waters. But you want your poodle puffs to cover that. You can make smaller puffs if you want. The size of the puffs should be the same size for the tail puff. Got it?
The feet puffs and the tail puffs are the same size.
Good. And that should have some ability to be similar to what you're doing on the top of the head. So if you're doing little tiny puffs, you want to do a very short cap and a short ball on the tail. But please, don't do what I call, are you ready for this?
No, I'm sitting down.
The dildo tail.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be something bad.
The damn dildo tail. I'm going to come and smack your hands if I see pictures of you doing a dildo. Dildo tail is when you shave, like, it's the dog's got a longer than average tail, and you shave it way up to the tip, and then there's a little ping pong ball type of tail of puff on the edge. That, my friends, is ugly. It is a dildo tail. The correct way to band the tail is that you actually go a little bit into the top of the rear end to, you know, like the first vertebrae there, just a little bit, like an inch or so into the back, and then you shave only as far as it would cover the anus. The bottom of your tail palm should be at the bottom of the asshole.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. But now, if your dog has an exceptionally long tail and you want to kind of camouflage some of that, or you don't know what to do with it and it's too much hair, you can bring that up a little bit. But don't go into a dildo tail. Because there again, when you set the tail into the back end, and then that makes it really possible for you to get that typical stylish line or angle that's from the hip bone, the butt bone, down to the back of the butt bone, you know, the top of the hip bone to the butt bone.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now. But mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? So on the tails, I find it's one of the most challenging places when you have to correct a badly shaved tail, because it's always going to look really weird for at least one grooming, sometimes three groomings, as the shape grows back in. I find it very frustrating. And I always try to explain it. I just try to leave more hair. I don't know what to do. What do you do?
You can try to blend it a little bit, and you can try to take more off the top of the tail, make that shorter so there's less of a distance. I mean, so that the whole thing has to grow out. You can take your pom-pom as low to the tip as to the very tip of the tail. Put your finger on that and don't, you know, have you ever done a Christmas tree tail?
Oh, yeah.
Where you twist it and twist it and twist it and then you cut it and then it falls into a Christmas tree? That's a technique that you have to be careful of.
Yeah, it doesn't work with ponytails. Just in case you were wondering, if you twist your ponytail up and then cut it, it comes out 6,000 different lengths and it looks really bad. Anyway, carry on.
The clean feet are token or an icon of the poodle, which is why the shaved clean feet is called poodle feet.
Right.
Oh, you want poodle feet. We do poodle feet sometimes on other breeds, especially if they have yeasty problems like Cocker's mite, or if they live in fox grass or something like that.
Sure.
But the clean shaved feet, with shaved between the toes and everything, that is the iconic poodle foot. And there are dogs that you can't do that with. I think we explained time before last that I asked for permission to leave one of my fancy poodles with teddy bear feet because it's the part of grooming that he would fight and hate, and he was practically tearful over the whole thing because Garner doesn't want to be a bad boy, but he just can't stand having his feet shaved. When you see that with a dog, you need to advocate for them and see if you can talk the customer into teddy bear feet. And you don't have to make them be big muffins. That's the one place where you might be able to get away with a little kind of pointy feet or triangular feet, as I sometimes call it, because their feet are more dainty and that's a part of their look. So you can either do a nice rounded teddy bear feet that fits the length you're leaving the leg, or if you need to, you can take them shorter and it will still be poodly. How far down do you take the neck or the throat? That needs to be in balance. You need to kind of figure out whether the dog has a good neck or not. There is a deformity that's common to poodles called a U-neck. Have you heard that? U-neck is where the neck bulges from the throat down into the chest instead of a nice line, and sometimes you don't even know it. And that poodle that I groomed finished his championship, and he's got a damn U neck. I can feel it.
Huh.
So
apparently the judge couldn't.
No, well, you know what? He was finished quickly out of the puppy class. No, not the puppy class, but he was finished young. And they were over with it. You know, like, you cannot imagine all the bullshit that goes on in the show ring. You know, he was with a good handler that was well known. You know, that's another whole topic of conversation, is just kind of bullshit that happens in the dog show world. The dog shouldn't have finished with that U-neck, and he did. And I kind of discovered it when I started putting him in pet trims. And there is this neck, and oh my God, what am I going to do? So what I do is that I do a kind of a shorter throat, and then I leave that, and then I do the chest from the bottom up, and then I just kind of scissor trim over that bulgy area. So I take it down really pretty short, but it's not clippered. I suppose you could use a blade and blend it.
So how do you get that really sharp point down there? when you're shaving the poodle neck. You know how some people have it? It just looks like it's a shirt.
Yeah. So you do that the same way that you get points on Bedlington Terrier ears and other V shapes, even the V that you cut in at the tail set. You think of an X. You think of an X. You X it. Do you know what I'm saying? An X. Yeah. So you go down one side to one marker of your X, and then you go down the other side to meet it. Oh. And that way you can make a very nice little point.
I assume you're doing this with your little 5-in-1 trimmer.
I do just so much with that little 5-in-1 trimmer. I do 90%.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Tell me places I can cheat with my clipper combs.
You didn't cheat with your clipper combs. I just don't cheat on the head.
Okay.
And that goes for doodles, too. The only time I cheat on the head is if it's gotten way too long. And then I might use, like, a green comb or, you know, a large snap-on comb to kind of reset the length. I had a poodle one time that a guy inherited it when his mother died. So here's this macho guy. He's got a poodle. He's very embarrassed that he's going to be thought of as gay. I mean, come on. God damn it, people. This was years and years ago. But right. He was. He said, I want you to make him look masculine. A poodle. A pretty little bouncy toy poodle. Yeah, you know, I love to put puffs on these little poodles, put puffs on their legs and then puffs on their tail. And then I tassel the ears and round them off. And they got little balls on their ears. And they're just bouncy little balls all over the place. That's really cute for me. I think it's very poodly. But, you know, like he didn't like my typically high headpiece. So I said, okay, I'll do something else. I used a wide comb. I took all the hair off, being very careful not to take off the top of the ear, but just to where I would cut the bottom of the hat. And then I flattened it and I pushed it out to the front so it looked like a baseball hat.
All right.
It was a kind of a little more boyish look, right?
I don't see any mustaches anymore, except for in, like, the grooming ring.
Yeah, you know, like the mustaches were huge. And the first German clip, most everybody is aware of this German clip, which is the ears are shaved and the tail is
cucumbered.
I don't like it. I have to admit, I've never grown fond. I know there's a reason. There's a good reason that competition groomers love the German trim. And that's because the lack of ear and tail is just two less things that you gotta tidy up and groom perfectly. Plus, the lack of ears allows a better view of all of your lines from the side.
That makes a lot of sense.
The poodle profile just shows up so much better when there's not these long hanging ears. It was taken from German competitors, but in the original German trim, there was a mustache. And we've just kind of outgrown our love of mustaches a few decades ago.
Except for in the human world, boy, they're everywhere still. When is that going to end?
No, there's a resurgence. There's a resurgence, and it's become a way for men to compensate for their lack of hair on the top of their head.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I've noticed that.
Yes, I digress.
I feel sorry for men with pattern male baldness syndrome. It's just really sad, and they fight it for years, and they wear baseball hats forward or backward, and you know, Elton John wears a wig.
The guys with the bandanas and then the mullet in the back, and there's nothing underneath that bandana that they're wearing on top of their biker head. That's another one. That screams bald guy underneath.
So mustaches, well, you know, I did a lot of what we call like donut mustache and donut ring, and that was very popular for a while, and that accompanied the teddy bear trim. But then people even wanted to look more bear-like. And one of the things that we can do to kind of stand up with current styles of pet trimming the poodle is to go into the Asian groomers' YouTube videos.
Ah, yes.
Chinese, Japanese, Korean.
Taiwanese,
all those people, you know, like for the longest time, Chinese people were only allowed one child, so they'd have another doggy kid. And, you know, and they dress them up, they put clothes on them, they braid their hair, they just do all kinds of interesting things. And I love the Asian style.
Yeah, that's a great way to incorporate that into your pet grooming is with the poodle people.
Yeah, because the thing with Asian styles is that they're almost always well-balanced and cutified. They make the dogs look cute. And so you can do that.
That's good. I don't know. What else do you want to tell us? Anything about coat prep and drying?
Thank you for mentioning that. Coat prep is so important. If it's not the coat, if the coat isn't properly combed, brushed, and straightened, it's very hard to do really nice plush scissoring on that coat. You can still kind of whack it, but because the curly coat is kind of bended inwards, it can be a real problem to get a nice smooth finish on that. Sometimes I like to bathe and dry and brush my own poodles instead of having my assistant do it, because I am very attentive to details like behind the hock, there between the hock and the foot pad. That's an area that you need to really stretch out and get it perfectly so that you can end the leg in a graceful way. And it's not well dried and stretched. Yeah, you got curls back there. You got curliness and waviness, and it just destroys the finish look. Yeah, if you want to improve your poodle grooming, the first thing that you should work on is improving your coat prep.
Do you have products that you love for poodles?
I have a lot of products that I love for poodles. I What I don't love for poodles is making them too soft with a heavy conditioner. So what I sometimes do is use Best Shot Vitalizing Mist spray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it in the gallon. And I use that 1 or 2 ounces in a Bathing Beauty bath instead of a conditioner. I do the same thing with the Ultra Mass finishing spray. Instead of spraying it on the dog, I just run it through the Bathing Beauty instead of a conditioner. And I only use a conditioner if the hair is all dry and wonky and needs a big drink. If it just needs some detangling, and by the way, doing that with a silicone-based product like those two Best Shot Mists, it really speeds up your drying.
Boy, I know that.
And you know what I got? What I've got that really speeds up my drying? I've got a elastic banded terry cloth tabletop thing. Boy, that really helps. That just soaks in all the water as you're spraying downward. It just goes right into that fabric. It doesn't bounce back into the legs of the dog. So it really speeds up my drying too. Okay?
All right, cool.
Okay, so does Jody Murphy have any points that I didn't make?
I can't imagine that she would, but I'm going to read them anyway.
Okay.
I imagine we'll just be reinforcing what you just discussed. So, key points to remember when grooming the poodle according to the breed standard. The poodle is square in outline, meaning it is as tall as it is long, and it has a level top line. You talked about that right at the beginning. The shoulders are well laid back and are approximately the same length as the upper arm. When I first started grooming, this whole shoulder lay back and the angles made no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I know. It's the hardest thing. Rear angulation is just much easier to see and to work on. That shoulder angulation, like WTF, you know?
Yeah.
Like the best way to see that is to look at the dog wet and look at and feel the bone that goes from the shoulder blade towards the front and then back towards the leg. And that's your front angulation and your shoulder lay. Laid back means that it's not as sharp an angle back from the front point of shoulder to the top shoulder point, right? If it's like real abrupt angle, it's going to be shorter, and it's not what is desired in a poodle.
Okay, so she says after the shoulders are well laid back and approximately the same length as the upper arm, this sets the elbow line with the withers. The front leg should appear column-like and be parallel when viewed from the front. So when I'm doing the poodle legs, am I allowed to use my clipper combs on the legs, or do I have to scissor those?
No, you can use your clipper combs.
Okay.
What the heck?
Okay,
no.
Just making sure.
You just want to...
Well, because I never feel like I get quite the same roundness when I'm in there with the clipper combs, but it's probably me.
Clipper combing the legs is not as fast and easy as doing the body and the rump line and those kinds of things. Rear angulation, you can go down, just right down the rear end of the dog. But it's just hard. And there again, the finishing sometimes has something to do with it. But the legs are bonier, and it's harder to keep that clipper comb perfect. Some people go against the grain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But you know, like you can use your clipper comb. I mean, I suppose that if you're doing little tiny pets, you can do a little tiny pet hat with a clipper comb. I'm not going to say never do that.
Right.
I'm just going to say I hardly ever do that.
Okay. So she says the poodle has a deep chest that should reach the elbows with well-sprung ribs, which presents a high tuck-up. Well-sprung ribs.
This is also, no, I'm just groaning a little bit because I love Jody Murphy and what she says is spot on. All that's right. But it's not what we necessarily comprehend. Spring of ribs means they're kind of wide in that area, and that's what gives them a waist from the end of the rib cage through the flank and into the leg. So you have a little waist line there, and that's something that you want to kind of scissor into your finished work if you're up to another level of perfection.
So lastly, she talks about the back legs. This is another area that is very, very difficult for me, especially when it comes to the back foot and the front of the knee. Those two areas where the back foot comes down, where the back foot, where the knee comes down and meets the foot, and then the hock comes out the back end, and then the scoop up towards the butt. That area, like on her picture of the dog, is fantastic. Mine never quite looks like that because I tend to follow the body conformation more than just trying to create an illusion with the hair. I think that's one of my flaws.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit longer right there. That's all. So, and over the knees, sometimes it needs to be a little bit shorter.
Okay.
So that's why I always just kind of do a little bit of trimming on my legs, even though I really do 5/8% of my grooming with a clipper comb.
And then there's hope for me yet.
Yeah, well, maybe I can try to get some video of Garner. But see, I'm already a little bit fancy with him. I just want to help people who don't have real well-bred poodles and don't have a concept of what is the poodle look. What are we doing with pet grooming? What can we do? Square them off a little bit. If the dog is a little bit shorter than it is long, so it's actually longer than it is tall, you need to go like with five blade down the back, almost in a schnauzer pattern, down the back end and into the thigh. What you don't want to do is to try to do that fancy, that angled butt look. I don't hardly ever do the angled butt look, because every now and then it just comes out that way.
Good to know.
This goes for Bichons, too. Bichons have that wonderful round little Bichon butt. I love a fucking Bichon butt. But you don't want to build the butt on top of a longer than it should be dog, because that just makes it be more long.
I get it.
If your dog is too long, or in other words, is longer than it is tall, you want to be real close in the front and real close in the back. And you want to leave a little more hair on the back of the front legs and a little more hair on the back, on the front of the back legs. So that closes up that area more into a square.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, for pets, you know, you don't have to have a perfectly round shape that's equidistant from the leg bone on all sides.
That's my issue right there.
You can do closer on the inside of the legs, as long as you then blend it to be kind of a tube in itself.
Right.
So the foot is not right in the middle of your tube. It's off to one side because you've taken the inside of the legs down because maybe they hold their legs too close together, or maybe they just gets matted too much. I do that with my Scotties. I take the inside of the legs down with a five blade.
Oh, all right. That's a good tip right there. Well, Barbara, we are so at the end of the show.
Boy, well, this one really was a talker for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me pontificate.
We like it when you're pontificating. Anyway, I thought it was a really good discussion about poodles, and I'm excited about our absorber towel 10% discount. Also, between starting the recording and finishing today, Cherry Brook has accepted us as an affiliate, so I will get that link up. If you guys shop at Cherry Brook, go ahead and hit our webpage and shop through us, and that's especially poignant for those people on the East Coast because they're pretty close to them. I completely and totally forgot to thank someone who gave us a donation, and that person is originally from Ireland, and I don't know whether I'm going to butcher her first name or not, so I'm going to give it a go. Leonie Collins. Thank you very much for your $25 donation. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Leonie.
Well, let's hope that all of the grooming shops that want to work get opened soon, and the ones that don't want to can stay home and stay safe. If you're at risk, you certainly have the choice to not go to work. You can continue on unemployment if you'd like.
If you can get it.
Yeah, but for most of us, we're looking forward to getting to work. I know I am. I feel very comfortable about working with safety protocols, and I hope that we all get to do what we love to do. I think grooming is such a unique environment because we are so passionate about what we're doing to earn our living that when we're not doing it, we actually feel a tremendous amount of loss as a group. And I know I'm going to feel much better when I get back to a full schedule. So happy grooming in the future, you guys. Stay healthy, be well, and see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.